thought I have tonight is drawing nigh to God. Like the Lord has been giving me scriptures and talking to my heart, especially strong this afternoon. So pray for us that we can share something and encourage you tonight of maybe some inspiration of how to draw closer to the Lord. During prayer, I just opened to the scripture, but I thought it was so good. In Psalms 51, 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You know, there's joy in being saved. And the secret is to draw nigh to God. I think about that scripture, if we will draw nigh to him, that's in James, he will draw nigh to us, James 4 and 8. Let's see if I get this. Yes, James 4 and 8. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I just want to get that part. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But you know, I was thinking about when we draw nigh to God, we have to put forth an effort. And, you know, it takes effort to draw nigh to God. Sometimes we really don't feel anything, and that kind of makes it like I'm really not feeling anything in prayer, but I just do it anyway. You know what I mean? Or I'm reading the Bible and I'm getting some good out of it, but I'm not really feeling a big inspiration. Lots of times that happens, but we continually don't get discouraged with that. We continually draw nigh to God, and then all of a sudden, something happens. He draws nigh to us. It's just amazing how God will talk to us, and I love that time when the Lord draws nigh to us. I want to read some verses of a song that the Lord gave me not very long ago. It was so amazing and probably inspired this message, no doubt. But it's a song by Fanny Crosby, and it's Near, Blessed Lord. And what happened was it was just a normal morning, and I was I was making some blueberry juice and water in my Vitamix. And I really wasn't really praying a certain way or doing anything spiritually like I, you know, just normal life. And the Holy Spirit just came to me and started whispering this song to me. And I just kind of stood still. You know, it's like you're in the presence of the Lord and you realize the Lord's drawing nigh to you and you don't want it to stop. You know, and I thought, oh my, this, talk to me, Lord, you know, and I just was listening. And I looked up the words later, but the chorus came to me, and I thought, I know, that's a song by Fanny Crosby. It's, "Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to your precious bleeding side." And the verses says, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to your service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine." Aren't those beautiful words? And the third verse says, "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend." And the fourth verse says, "There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross that narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I cannot reach till I rest in peace with thee." She had a real gift from God of writing songs. She wrote thousands. I'm right, thousands. But she was blind, but in that blindness, she was very spiritually depth. You know, she had a physical blindness, but she had a spiritual eyesight that was so great. So the Lord made it up to her and gave her all these songs for us. But the Holy Spirit whispered that to me, and of course I went and stopped what I was doing. I went and had prayer, and I'm sure I wept about it. I just felt so close to the Lord at that moment. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I do. That's my desire. I want to draw closer to you. I want to be near you. And I don't ever want you to let me go, Lord. I want you to follow me wherever I go and deal with my heart and draw me near you. That's what I want, Lord. And it was just so precious. And you know the visits of the Holy Spirit, how he visits with you. And it's just so precious, isn't it? When God talks to us and tells us, I want to draw near you. I want you to draw near me. And, you know, there's something about a joy of salvation. It's not just going along and we're saved and we just kind of do the routine of different things, but there's a joy in it. And God wants us to tap into that joy. It's not just that we're different from the world and we're living. All those good things are great. And we're living free from sin. That's wonderful. We couldn't do that without God. But he wants us to go deeper than that. He wants us to have the joy of salvation. He wants us to enjoy, revel in the Bible, revel in stories. And I know sometimes it takes a real effort. I know sometimes that we're in a busy age. And I know sometimes with me, in fact, this song, it ministered to me so many times because I would just look it up on my phone. Maybe I'd be doing something else in the kitchen or whatever around the house, and I'd turn that song on and listen to it again because it was ministering to me spiritually. We can do that. We can use the technology of this world right now in a spiritual way. We can look up anything spiritually. It's amazing. You know, get something on your mind about D.S. Warner or whatever, you can look that up, you know. I mean, just... it's amazing what we can find in spiritual things. So, therefore, but we have to put forth an effort. I've been inspired. We've been reading some about winning the crown by C.W. Naylor. And, you know, he had a very accident. From what I understood, it was an accident with a tent. And he was in bed after that. But he had been evidently a minister or a calling upon his life. So he used it to write books and write that book and write. And he wrote some songs too, I believe, but he ministered that way. There's not any way that you can stop in your joy of salvation. No matter how old you get, you can be inspired to have great joy. And I know sometimes I marvel, bring this out, that, you know, Sister Clay, she amazes me. But yeah, she's 10 years older than me, or maybe older than that, but at least that gap there. But I remember when I first met her, I didn't even know her before. And we were in Florida visiting Jerry's sister, and Brother Philip knew where I was, and Sister Rosie, I know I usually tell them kind of where I'm at. And so he texted me and called, and he said, there's a funeral. Brother Clay has passed away there in Miami, Florida. And I had never met Brother Clay, but he was a real saint of God. From what I heard, that he was a real faithful minister for many years in that area, and he was really, really a great man in the Lord, you know. And Brother Philip said, somebody else had died in this area, and he said, I've got to go to their funeral. I planned on flying out there, but would you go and represent Oklahoma for us? And I said, sure. So Jerry and I drove over there. I don't know if it was 5 or 6 hours, but what I'm trying to bring out is about Sister Clay. I met her through that funeral, and I just endeared myself to her there. You know what I mean? And it was just so great to meet the saints there. But you know, that still takes an effort, doesn't it? It takes an effort to draw near to people. And, you know, since then, she was, you know, I remember at Monarch when she was in that wheelchair and she could walk. Remember that? And several of the saints was called in there. I was one of them. Several that was not very... somehow got us together in that area where she was, and we had prayer with her. But the Lord healed her. And she amazes me at her age. I mean, one time I was in West Virginia meeting, there was Sister Clay. I mean, I don't know if she must row with someone or she catches rides with people. I mean, as far as I know, she doesn't. Well, I think she does drive. She does drive. Yeah, she'll drive many hours. I think she drove to Wichita many hours. She puts forth an effort in her salvation, in her ministry. Pardon?
She's in Wichita today.
So, you know, what I'm trying to say here is that we don't have to stop and retire. You know what I'm trying to say? We don't retire in God's vineyard. We work for the Lord as long as we're being blessed and we can keep doing it. We don't have to think that, you know, and it says you can bring fruit in old age. I know Jerry's grandmother, I won't say too much. I know I say a lot about her, but I loved her so much. She was like our pastor. She just ministered to us. We got saved in her home. She was like in her 70s when I met her. And she was such a blessing, and her spirit still lives with me. And, you know, we can just be drawn nigh to God. That's my burden today, is find ways to draw nigh to God. Put forth an effort. We're living in a busy age, and we're going to have to really think of ways to defeat the enemy, I might say. You know, like sometimes we get up, and we have all intentions. And my thing, I pray. As soon as I wake up, I start praying. Because I know if I get up, I may not get, I don't know when I'm going to get to pray again, you know, like really pray, you know what I'm trying to say? So I try to acknowledge God and tell him, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for giving me a good rest. Just, you're my friend, God. I want you with me, you know what I mean? And then we find more time to pray later. But what I'm trying to say, don't let the enemy take your time away. Because he'll try to do that. Find ways. I know sometimes Jerry and I, we have to go somewhere in the morning early or something. And I'll say, you know, I can bring Winning the Crown. Or, you know, one time I just look up scriptures on my phone if I don't have my Bible. And I can read scriptures to him while we're going down the road. But we always are aware that we need to read and pray. We need to be close to God. We need to draw nigh to him. Because, you know, I've noticed in my life, that is a very serious thing that I keep up to date with God because of several reasons. I know my children and grandchildren, we keep in contact quite a lot because of the communication of texting and different things. But when they get in trouble and one that's very sick or something happens, they call for prayer. And the saints call for prayer too and they text me. And I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not a fair weather friend with God. That I'm close to him, so when I need to pray about these things, he'll be drawn nigh to me. He'll hear our prayer, saints, because we've kept close to him. And so I want us to share a few scriptures with you tonight. That song is so precious, but I thought of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. This scripture in 38, you know, I was thinking, you know, Martha was only kind of doing really what a lot of women would do. You know, if Jesus came to your house, well, you know, and there was people there and you had to feed them, you would be in the kitchen working and making a meal and doing, you know, I mean, it's not that Martha was just such a bad person. You know, she was trying. She was trying to get some food ready. She was thinking she was doing the very best. This is just like us lots of times. We know we have to cook and we have to clean the house. We have to take care of our children. That's all lawful. But there's one thing that's so needful, that we take care of our soul. You know, and this is what he was trying to say. Martha was cumbered about with much serving in the 40th verse. And said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. Martha, Martha, Jesus said to her, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Aren't we that way in our daily lives? Aren't we, you know, unless you're different than me, I tell you, I am that. I am careful and troubled about many things. Life is just like that. And I believe that God wants us to enjoy life. But the priority, we've got to always bring our mind and our soul back. The priority is that we take care of our soul. Because one day will be our last day on earth. One day we're going to meet God, really meet God. You know what I'm trying to say? And so we want to make sure that we take time for the Lord always, and we don't know what's going to come. But Jesus said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So we know that we're going to be troubled, and many things are going to come, spiritual things. You know, I was thinking even sometimes you can go to Monarch and be so busy going to service, and that's wonderful. But let's take time to pray. Let's take time. You know, they said years ago that the people would go out at different places under the trees or out different places in their own little place to pray and get close to God. They would find a place to pray. Some of the sweetest times at Monarch when I was by myself praying. But, you know, the Lord visited me. But, you know, the Lord will visit us all better collectively if we spend time with Him and draw nigh to Him in our personal lives. Then when we come together, we'll be more power there. You know what I mean? Than if we're so cumbered about with so many things and we just exhaust ourselves. I know there's sometimes, actually this afternoon, I was wanting to read and pray, but I knew my body, I hadn't got enough sleep the night before, and I just was tired. I needed a nap. Don't always do that, but I needed a rest. And so I usually don't set the, I'll set the alarm long enough so I can don't have time to read and pray and get ready for church again. So about 3 o'clock, I went to sleep. I set it for 5. I thought, well, I have an hour and a half to read and pray. I woke up at 5, and I told the Lord, Lord, you know I need to do that. And I woke up at 5 to 5 before the alarm went off. I looked, and the Lord started visiting me. It was so sweet. He started giving me these scriptures and talking to me. And I just was crying. I just felt His presence. He was drawing nigh to me. This don't always happen. But when it does happen, I'm pretty still now. And I'm kind of a person that's kind of, that's my husband. I'm like a go-getter, like fast. And, you know, we have some of these personalities in here. This congregation. That's okay. But when the Lord starts talking, I try to slow down and just listen and be still, because I don't want to disrupt that tender spirit. And the Lord, He this mean that was one scripture He gave me. The scripture of Peter, St. John 2 and 21 and 13. I love this scripture. I think it's so precious. But, you know, the disciples had went through a lot. And St. John 21 and 3. Jesus had been taken and put on the cross, and you know, it would just be like Peter thought, I don't know what all thoughts they were thinking, but they probably thought Jesus has died, and they, you know, they died and they buried Him, and you know, that part of our life looks like it's just about over. I mean, it looks discouraging. But I know I used to fish. I guess I'll just go fishing. We're a lot like that. We're a lot like that. We go back to our occupation because we're. It's good to be busy in a one way, not to be over busy, but, you know, we need to be challenged. We need to be not depressed, so we need to be busy with something, right? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, Jesus says. You know, live joyfully with your wife all the days of your life. I mean, He teaches us to be busy, but not to leave Him out. But you know, so Peter just, I'm going fishing. Well, the other disciples, you see how we influence one another. Okay, we'll go with you, Peter. Let's just all go fishing. But then we're not supposed to be doing that. It's not that it's not wrong. It's not wrong to fish, but they were supposed to be fishers of men. They were supposed to be doing God's work. The same with us. We can do some things lawfully, but if you're called for a certain calling, you better be doing your job. You better ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, get busy at it, whatever that is. So, you know, so what? They went fishing, and Simon Peter saith unto them, I go up fishing. We also go with thee, the third verse. That's 21 of St. John. Now, when Jesus came in the morning, it said, that night they caught nothing. I'm telling you, if you get out of God's will in temporal things, you're not going to be blessed. God has a way of chastising us. He has a way of dealing with us because he loves us. And he wanted to show them something. You're out of God's will. You're not going to catch like you used to catch fish. You're not going to, because I've got something greater for you to do. So, but he loved them. And Jesus said unto them, and it said the disciples knew it not that it was Jesus at first, but children, have ye any meat? And they said, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore now, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You see the difference when God blesses the multitude of fishes. And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loves saith unto Peter, that disciple whom Jesus loves saith unto Peter, who was that disciple? John the Beloved. He was close to the Lord. He had spiritual insight. He said, it is the Lord. Now see, this is way we need to be in spiritual understanding. We need to recognize when God's talking to us. And when he's drawn nigh to us, we need to wake up and see and understand. He said, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it, he went into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship. There was about 200 cubits dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Can you imagine seeing 153 fishes? And for all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. And Jesus said, come and dine. You know, that's what he's saying to us every day. Come and dine with me sometime, okay? Come and find some time to be with me alone. We have a song, Alone with God, the World Forbidden. And now the disciples just asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus said, taketh bread and giveth him, and fish likewise. Who was this Jesus? He was the resurrected Jesus. That's who he was. This was after he was the resurrected Jesus. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. There's nothing wrong with working. We need to work. We need to provide for our families. God teaches men to do that. He said, you know, you're an infidel if you don't provide for your family. You're worse than an infidel. But the thing is, we've just got to keep our priority always before. Let's not overdo. Let's make sure we keep close to God, because there was a story about, I don't know just where I read it, but this little girl, her mother loved her so much, and she bought her beautiful clothes, and she gave her everything she wanted. She just loved and adored this little girl and just made her life so happy in this world. She was a happy little girl. But one day she took sick, and when she was dying on the bed, and she said, Mama, you forgot about my soul. She thought that she loved this little girl so much, she did love her. But she forgot the most important thing. She forgot about her little soul. This is what we forget. We can't forget. We can't forget that about our children, and then goes to our grandchildren. And if we're fortunate enough to have our great-grandchildren, what's coming along, thank God I have one, and we get a chance to minister to her. You know, this is what we're alive for, is to minister to them and talk to them about their soul. Isn't that a sad story? I don't know how that ended. This was a true story, but she said, Mama, you forgot about my soul. You remembered all these other things to give me, but the most important thing you forgot about. And so may God help us to remember, you know, it wasn't wrong with fishing. Fishing's a wonderful thing. And we can eat the fish and we can enjoy that and all. But he wanted them to feed his lambs. And he saith unto him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Then he said another time, the second time. Then he said the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. He said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So the story in that lesson is like Peter, you're saying you love me, but you're not doing what I told you to do, basically, right? Do you love me more than this fishing occupation? Then go do what I want you to do. He was leaving this world. Jesus was going to leave the world, dear, and he had to call his disciples to do his job. So may God help us. I thought of another script song, another chapter, and I'm sure there's just more and more, but an Acts about Philip and the eunuch. This is another story that I just love, especially love, but, you know, God called Philip away. It said that they were preaching the gospel in many villages of Samaritans, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, this is another thing. When we're close to God, we should have discernment. And we, you know, in the world, they'll say this gut feeling. If you have a gut feeling, you know, about you're around somebody and you're out in the world and someone that's dangerous, maybe you have a gut feeling to get away from that situation, you better listen. But the saints should have something even more than just a gut feeling. We should have a discernment. And we should have a close enough to God that when he talks to us that we know to go or do. I heard someone told me this just recently about, I believe it was Brother Mansell Doolittle. And when he was truck driving, he had stopped and pulled on the side of the road. And he was going to check out his truck or do something. He had parked. And all of a sudden, God spoke to him. He said, go. That's all he heard was the word go. And he took off in that semi-truck. He just started it up and took off and looked in the rearview mirror. And there was several men that were just getting ready to hijack his semi. And God spared him because he heard the word go. What about us? What about us? There is sometimes you might be driving along. Well, that happened to Haley. Something's going to happen. And so she's being aware. She's looking. She's attentive. And Lord, she thought, then she saw an accident on the side of the road. She said, well, maybe that's what it was. Haley, be prepared. Something's going to happen. She heard God's voice. And all of a sudden, someone runs a red light and comes right towards her and stops 1 foot before her door. That is God's voice. Still small voice, but when we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. There's an importance of this because when we are close to God, we will hear his voice. And you know, that's what the angel told Philip, arise, it's time for you to go. Go toward the south. He didn't know why he was going, but he listened to God's spirit. And when he got there, he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was in a high position, but he was seeking God. And it says he was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, you know, God uses people to draw nigh to us, and he draws nigh to us through people many times. He uses people. You know, that's what he does. That's what he does. And, you know, he used Philip. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Have you had an experience like this? It might not be exactly like this. Have you had an experience with people? This is something similar like this. There they ask you a question. And you know, the place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered, Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man. He did not understand. He had no clue. He didn't understand. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, you might be a preacher to one person sometimes. You know, Philip was ministering to this one person. And you know, he began to preach to him about Jesus. I don't know what all he said, but he must have told him how you need to get saved and you need to get baptized. And I'm not just saying sprinkling some water, but you need to be immersed under the water and be baptized. He must have been teaching him all this because the eunuch said, there's some water. What hinders thou me from being baptized? He was taking it all in. And so they did. And it said, I love the scripture. And Philip said, eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both under the water. And Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What a life. Don't you want that kind of life? That God could use you at any moment to help someone get saved. You may never see him again. But this all comes from drawing close to God. Draw nigh to God and he will draw to you and he will give you jobs to do. He will give you jobs, different jobs to do. He will. The Spirit of the Lord will call you. It's amazing. Unaware. I mean, there's things that will happen that you weren't expecting, but God will deal with you and work with you. And then on the Lord willing, Matthew 14, I want to talk about the disciples in the boat. You know, this is another great story, and we can get so much lessons out of these stories that are true. Matthew 14 and 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Even Jesus, what Jesus, our example, went and got along with God and spent time in prayer. And this is why it's so important for us to take his example. You know, and after that, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. For fear, we heard a Sunday school lesson Brother Jim had on fear and faith. I really appreciated that because it is really true. It's hard to have a lot of faith when you're fearing too much. But you ask the Lord to help you to get rid of that fear, and we'll have better faith. But you know, it says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Here is Peter again, and I know, I really love all the disciples, but you know, we talk about Peter. But he got a lot of good lessons, Peter did, because of the way he was. He got to walk on water. I mean, I want the other disciples just sitting around looking at Jesus. You know, I don't know what they were doing. I guess they were just looking. But Peter thought, he's going to do better than that. This is Jesus walking on the water. I can do it too. And he jumped out of the boat. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to walk out of the water. I mean, to jump out of the boat. But he got out, and he was walking on the water. And it says, come, and when Peter was come down the ship, he walked on the water. Peter did, to go to Jesus. But then, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. See, so as soon as the fear came in, the faith left, didn't it? And so when the fear came in, beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I'm not saying he didn't have any faith, but he messed up there somewhere because he didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and saith unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So different stories we read tonight about different examples. But you know, if Peter would have just kept his eyes on Jesus, and dear ones, if we keep our eyes on the Lord, and if we continually to draw nigh to God, if we make a purpose, a real purpose, to spend some time with God alone every day, and maybe more than once, but you know what I'm trying to say? Pray without ceasing. Some people say, I don't have time to pray. You can pray all the time in your heart and mind. You can pray during service that God will bless the service. You can pray when you're driving. Yes. You can pray around the house, or men when they're working on their jobs. You can pray in your heart. Pray without ceasing. That's what it means. Be so close to God that he is just your friend and he's with you all the time. Pray for me. I want to draw closer to the Lord. I really do. I want to stay close to God, because I know that's my lifesaver. Pray for me.